Great chapters of the Bible, and we are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. As we end Stewardship Month tonight, I wanted to look at chapters 8, and you can't look at chapter 8 without looking at chapter 9, too. The two go together. It's one story. And I want to show you about four things here, four focuses on these chapters that deal with stewardship and the blessing of stewardship, and in this case, the giving of money to the poor saints. To really get the idea of what these chapters are about, however, you must go back and keep your place here to Romans 15 and verse 26, because Romans 15, verse 26 sets up 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. This is the reason for 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Romans 15, 16, the Bible says this. Romans 15, rather, verse 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Okay, that's what our chapters are about right there. It pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia. Those are two nations back then in Europe. And the churches of those regions, Macedonia to the north, Achaia to the south, it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Okay, that's what the chapters are about now in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 as we turn back there. And isn't that great? It pleased them. It pleased them. They didn't hit the off switch as soon as the pastor or whoever started talking about money. It pleased them. They said, yeah, you know, it gives us pleasure to help these poor saints. Now, a lot of times these chapters here, 8 and 9, are used to teach us faith promise missions giving or grace giving, as some teach it. And this really wasn't a missions offering in the context. It was really an offering, as we just saw, for the poor saints, which were absolutely living in poverty so bad, some were starving back in this first century. And so those way over in Macedonia and Achaia, a long ways away from Jerusalem, heard about what the poor saints were suffering. And I got a feeling the thought came into their mind and said, you know something, we wouldn't even be saved if it wasn't for that church at Jerusalem. We owe them. We owe them. They're the ones that sent the missionaries out that ended up here in Macedonia and Achaia. Macedonia is a region to the north about the size of Georgia. Achaia is about the size of Pennsylvania. And they're on top of you. It's kind of like New York's on top of Pennsylvania. And there were certain saints in Macedonia and certain saints in Achaia, and somehow the word just spread through both of those regions, both of those nations. You know, our mother church, and Jerusalem is the mother of all, we're told in Galatians 4, right? Not Rome, amen? Not England, Jerusalem's the mother of all. That's what the Bible says. And that's the church Christ started. In Palestine. And they got the saying, you know, these people have done so much for us. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even be saved. And it pleased them, so let's help them out. Let's help those out that helped eventually get the gospel to us. And I want you to notice four things now out of chapter number 8 here. First of all, I want you to notice, number one, the Macedonians. The Macedonians. In verse 1 it says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or pay attention, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. It's going to talk about their unbelievable record of giving money, giving financially to God's causes and especially to the poor. But Paul starts out, before he gets into the money aspect of it and the history of it and all that and the people involved, he starts to say this. He says, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I think that's a little bit of what Ken was saying tonight. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. Don't try to figure out tithing. Don't try to figure out giving of offerings. Just do it, and the grace of God will be bestowed upon you. And he is using the churches of Macedonia as a role model to the church at Corinth. Now, here's a little geography. Corinth is in Achaia, the southern nation that we talk about tonight. Macedonia is the northern region, a country, Macedonia, and then under is Achaia. Corinth, he's saying to Corinth, we do you to wit, or please pay attention to the grace God has bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. It'd be like saying maybe to the churches in Pennsylvania, hey, we want you to pay attention. We want you to be alert. We want you to notice what God is really doing in New York because they've learned how to give. That's basically what he's saying here. Pay attention to this. Don't miss this. See, God's grace is poured out upon a giving people, upon a people who are wise stewards. God pours out his grace. It is bestowed, the word, upon those who give. So those of you that are still struggling with your faith about this subject of tithing and offerings, no, none of us that do it can explain it, but we all know that we have experienced the grace of God bestowed upon us because of it. And you do not have to fear. And we see their example in verses 2 through 5, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty somehow abounded under the riches of their liberality. And to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us, or with much entreaty, or like almost begging us that we would receive the gift. Because Paul and the messengers that he entrusted these finances to probably humanly were looking at these people and saying, you know, yeah, we need to help those back at Jerusalem here, but boy, you folks have your own needs. But they said, we don't care about that. We beg you to receive the gift that we want to give you in verse 4 and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry, ministering to the saints. Pastor Seth was telling me that over in Cambodia, as poor as they are, they wanted to give to us. And begged him and would have felt slighted or would have felt offended if those that had gone to Cambodia had said no. Especially when it came to like food and things he was talking about. They hardly had enough, but they said, no, we want you to have. We want you to. And they'd have felt bad if they hadn't had the blessing of giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And some people in the deepest poverty can learn that, and some rich people never learn it. And that's what it was like. They're begging them. They're saying, no, we want to be a part of this fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And again, I don't know if I'm reading between the lines or not, but I think they're saying, yeah, we're dirt poor, but we have the grace of God, and that's greater than money. And these people in Jerusalem, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even be saved. We are all debtors, you know that? We're all debtors. And this they did, not as we hoped. And I want you to notice the Macedonians, they're threefold. The threefold form of giving the Macedonians practiced. Verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and second, and unto us by the will of God, and third, as the text says, they gave their finances to help in this need that came before the church of the poor saints in Jerusalem. And Paul just used them in verse 1 as a role model. He says, please notice these believers. That's real giving. Number one, when you give yourself to the Lord. That's where giving starts. Give yourself to the Lord. Some evangelists used to travel around with a big offering basket. I don't know where he found it. But it was a big offering basket, and he'd lay it out in front of the churches where he preached, right in front of the altar. And he would say, okay, now who's going to come up and stand in the offering basket and give themselves to the Lord? Have you ever done that? I mean, in an official capacity, have you ever said, Lord, I'm yours. I am yours. I take ownership of my life and just hand it to you. Lord, I'm yours. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Then second of all, they gave themselves to us. Verse 5, how? By the will of God. Man, here's where real struggles come in. God wants us all to be under leadership, and God wants us to all to be under the authority of the church by the will of God, not by some cunning cult member who's trying to dominate you or something like that. No, this is by the will of God. We need to give ourselves to the Lord first of all. And then Paul said, then they gave themselves to us. They said, we're yours. You're our spiritual leaders. What do you want us to do? They gave themselves to us. You know, you'll never be chosen by God to be a leader until you're first a follower. A lot of people struggle with biblical authority. Look, it's everywhere. It's not just in the church. You go to the family, the husband's the head of the wife. The father's the head of the children. You go to work, the Bible says the master's over the servant, or what we would say today, the employer's over the employee. In society, we're to be in subjection to those that the Bible calls governors and so on and so forth. We might call them presidents, governors today. There's authority in every realm of life. It's the same thing with the church. There's authority, God-ordained authority according to the will of God. So they gave themselves to the Lord first, and then they gave themselves unto us by the will of God. And this is scriptural, that we be in subjection and in submission to those in authority over us, no matter what realm we go into. Work, government, family, church. And these kind of people gave themselves to the leadership. And good leadership doesn't ask you to do anything contrary to the Bible. And they are not lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. But, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but if they stand up and say, you ought to come to church Sunday night, guess what? You ought to come to church Sunday night. If they say, you know, you ought to come to church and Bible study on Wednesday night, guess what you ought to do? You got to come to church and Bible study on Wednesday night. You know, unless you're providentially hindered or something like that. We understand that kind of stuff. They say, you know, you ought to read your Bible every day. Guess what we should do? We should read our Bibles every day. You ought to pray for these missionaries this month. Just take November and go through this, and maybe as a family or married couple or an individual, just pray for these missionaries. You know, if the pastor says that, we ought to do it. That's not outside of God's will. And then they gave financially. So the church at Macedonia, by the way, what were some of the local churches in the region of Macedonia? They were amazing. If you read their history, Philippi, that's a great church. They were in Macedonia. Thessalonica, that was a great church. Two letters written to them. That was a great. Remember how much they loved the Lord and were waiting for his coming? Looking for the second coming of Christ. Thessalonica was in Macedonia. Berea. That was a great church. What do we know about Berea? They were noble. They searched the scriptures what? Daily. Whether those things were so. Those are the churches in the north, in Macedonia, that we're to pay attention to. The only church we know of in Achaia is Corinth. What about it? It was a mess. And he says to them of Achaia, I want you to pay attention to the churches of Macedonia. Focus on Philippi, the Thessalonians, the Bereans. Look at the grace of God. Look at how they gave themselves to the Lord. Look how they gave themselves to the spiritual leadership over them. Look how they gave their finances out of deep poverty, and yet God's grace was bestowed upon them. It was obvious. Look at that region. Sometimes there's regional revivals, you know that? And I hope a regional revival comes to New York. I think there's some good churches in New York. God has oftentimes brought revivals to regions that got right with God. Doesn't matter how liberal they are or what kind of laws they might be passing. God can bring revival to a region. He did to Macedonia. We do you to wit. Pay attention to the Macedonians. I want you to see tonight, number two, the messengers. The messengers. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also. Now, by the way, the word grace, verse 1, the word gift in verse 4, the word grace in verse 6, the word grace in verse 7, the word grace in verse 9, the word grace in verse 19 are all from the same Greek word, charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, grace. It means enablement. And I want you to notice that even though it's translated most of the time in this chapter into the word grace, in verse 4, it's translated into the word gift, not grace. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, that's charis, the Greek word for grace, but it's translated here gift. Why? Because money and grace are the same thing. Grace means enablement. And what does money do? Money enables. You give money to Tyler Masters, what's he going to do with it? Anybody know? What's he going to do with his money? He's going to finish his airplane, go to the mission field. All right? That's what he's going to do. Is he the right one? I got the right one? No, Shields. Shields. I'm sorry, Shields. That's why you didn't answer me. All right, Shields. Brother Shields, what's he going to do down in Louisiana? He's going to finish his airplane. Okay, why? The money is going to enable him to finish making his airplane so he can fly that airplane into places where nobody else can drive. Money will enable, and that's what grace is when God gives us divine enablement. Money is just a physical, a tangible illustration of what grace is. It's something that enables, and God's grace enables us to be what he wants us to be, to do what he wants us to do, to go where he wants us to go. God can give us grace, and money is a grace. When you give to missions, that's a grace we are enabling to bring them forward on their journey to get to a mission field. And so Titus is chosen, and I can't imagine, even though some of them were in poverty, just think now, you got this whole country of Macedonia, this whole country of Achaia, and all the money they collect, they give it to Titus and say, here, take this back to Jerusalem. Well, believe me, you're going to choose a man and some helpers that are blameless, men of integrity, men of credibility. And Titus was a great man of God. He's a great man of God. And so the messengers, it says in verse number 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that he would, that as he had begun, so he had also finished in you the same grace also. And so Titus had been doing a work about Achaia, trying to get them to understand the value of grace giving. Now skip to verse 16 because we want to learn more about these messengers. First of all, just so our church will always have financial credibility, and your church, if you ever go and plant another church or go to the mission field, these are the kind of people you should look for. Verse 16, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Who put care in Titus's heart? God did. God did. And we got to let God work in our hearts to care for people. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. And as he was, and we have sent with him the brother. Now this is the mystery man. He's mentioned several times here in this chapter and in the next, and we don't know who he was. Could be anybody. And we have sent with him the brother. Now notice this, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. All right? This guy, all the churches were aware of this man's reputation for one thing. What was it? The gospel. His praise was in the gospel. We didn't know his name, but everybody else knew him because this was a gospel-preaching man. You know, that's what our praise should be. I really think when we get to heaven, as I said recently in a sermon, I think Jesus in heaven is just going to call up the servants and call up the soul winners. And he's going to say, I want to be surrounded by you for all of eternity. There, bring them up. Those who minister in the gospel. That's what's important to Jesus Christ. And that's what should be important to the churches in verse 18, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. It's not like that much anymore. There's all kinds of praise and admiration today for singers and gospel quartets and musicians and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff, and preachers. But man, we need to just praise those who are getting the gospel out, the messengers. And not that only, but who have also chosen, but who has also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, this money, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. They had a mind to give, it was ready. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. In other words, Titus and this brother needed to be blameless, as I said, men of integrity, men of credibility, because they were traveling with so much money. Verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Pastor called me this week about a man in his church who wanted to go out and plant a church. He said he's got zeal and he's got knowledge. He said, but Pastor Cole, his finances are a mess. He goes from apartment to apartment to apartment to apartment with his family because he never pays his rent. And he skips out on the rent. And I said to him, Pastor, this guy's disqualified. He's not fit for the ministry. You can't have anything to do with this. You need to backtrack. You need to call him in. You need to say he needs to get this right in his life. He's got to have a good testimony to those that are without. The Bible even says that in the credentials of a bishop. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Titus chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Bishop must be blameless. He's got to have a good testimony towards them that are without. I'm not saying you don't go through financial hardships. Some people do, like a Tom Williams or something like that, but he was an honest man. He made sure he paid all his creditors. And we have to be careful of the quality of the individual that we allow in the ministry. And that we allow to be ordained. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. Some guy that skips out of town, doesn't pay his rent, is not fit to be a pastor or a church planter. He needs to go back in his life, no matter how long it takes him, and pay every penny he owes to every person on earth. If it takes him the rest of his life, at least he can die with some integrity. Read Proverbs. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches. Talking about the messengers here. And notice this statement. It's in the Bible. And the glory of Christ. And the glory of Christ. You young men that want to be messengers someday, you need to have an impeccable testimony. People are going to be looking up to you. And you are the glory of Christ. We do not make idols out of preachers, pastors, leaders, evangelists, missionaries, or anybody. We don't do that. But there is some glory about them that abides upon them that doesn't abide on anybody else. It's a very unique standing. Those that are the messengers of the churches are the glory of Christ. I had an illustration of this in my life recently when I was just so excited that I was going to go to a church where I heard David Gibbs preach. I just see the glory of Christ abides upon him. I don't make an idol out of him. I get to hear Doug Fisher preach Friday and Saturday at marriage conference. John Jenkins, these are men that there's something about them. It just seems like the glory of Christ abides upon them. The messengers of the churches. And we need some of you young men to have an impeccable testimony. Learn how to handle your finances. Learn how to be proved. Verse 22, over and over and over again. Oftentimes you ought to be proved. Nobody has a right to the ministry until they're proved. Oftentimes. I told Chris Barron, dot your I's, cross your T's, watch your P's and Q's. We're going to ordain you in February, and you need to be right with God. You need to do the best you can financially, and you pay your bills. Try to get out of debt. Stay out of debt. Be sure you tithe and give offerings and support missions yourself. Love your wife. Be a good testimony. Watch your words. Watch how you speak to people. Win souls to Christ. We want to prove him oftentimes before we ordain him. The messengers of Christ. And I want you to notice, third of all tonight, the missing. The missing, and I'll explain what I mean by this as we go back up to verse number 7. Paul says to the church in Corinth down in Achaia, therefore as you abound, and they had a lot of things down, and this is like some of you tonight. They had a lot of good things down in their Christian life except giving. Some of you are like that. You got a lot of good things down except giving. He says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, that's great. But he says this, see that you abound in this grace also. Okay, you're men of faith and men of utterance preaching, and you know the Bible and you're diligent and your love for the brethren is obvious, but you're weak in the area of giving. You need to get to where you abound in this grace, not where you tip. You know, we don't tip the Lord. We ought to abound in our giving to the Lord. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, those of Macedonia, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Skip to verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He says, look, you began in this thing about giving, but then you backed off. And you shouldn't back off. You should be forward where you are a year ago. And that's usually the case. And I know there's catastrophic things that happen to people, but it's usually the case where somebody, for instance, in missions, might give a dollar the first year. Then the next year they say, man, I can give $5. God's blessed me. Then the next year, 10. The next year, 20. What are they doing? They're going forward a year ago. And they just keep going and going and going and going. And it gets, as Paul used the word, being a cheerful giver. It's actually from a Greek word, hilarious. It's hilarious how the amount you keep giving to the poor or to missions increases, and then at the end of the year you say, I still can't outgive God. This is getting funny. Some of you do not know what I just said because you've never experienced it. I feel so sorry for you. This is something good I'm trying to get you to get in on as we end stewardship month tonight. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. You said a year ago you were going to be just like those, you know, and you were going to give. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. I mean, if you turn in a commitment card, Paul would say today, make sure you do it. that as there was a readiness to will, in other words, a year ago, your will was ready, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Okay, perform it. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I mean, you don't have to do something so crazy that you commit to give something that you don't have. For I mean not that the other be men be ease and ye burden, but by an equality, that everybody would just do what God lays on their hearts, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. Here it is. In verse 14, we find those to the south, Achaia, had an abundance. Those to the north, Macedonia, had poverty, but they had grace. They gave, and the ones in abundance didn't. Sounds like the widows might remember her. The Lord stopped the whole offering that day and said, hold on, I want to make an object lesson here. Everybody looked at Jesus and said, this lady is giving out of her want. You gave out of your abundance. And that's the kind of giving the Macedonians had. They gave out of their want. Some of us could give out of our abundance and it wouldn't even put a dent in our budget. As it is written, and there's always a promise to giving, so no matter whenever God brings it up, there's always a promise attached to it. Verse 15, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Verse 24, skip down there. Wherefore show ye to them the, and before the churches, the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. Now, what's this boasting? Paul had a year earlier boasted to those in Macedonia about the commitment those in Achaia made. But a problem came up. They made a commitment but didn't keep it. Now Paul was embarrassed because he used their commitment to incite the Macedonians to be givers. He went there first to Achaia, and then he said, wow, those people are really going to get behind this offering. Then he gets up to Macedonia and says, guess what they're doing down south? They're going to give like crazy to this offering. Then a year went by and they hadn't given at all. Now, Paul was in a fix with his leadership, and that's what the whole ninth chapter is about. Let me read it real quick. Follow along. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. And your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up before your bounty, or take up your collection, whereof you had noticed before, a year ago, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. And again, there's always promises. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now notice this, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God may just put it on someone's heart to give you a car, as we heard in testimonies tonight. God may put it on somebody's heart to give you supplies for your business at no charge, as we heard in testimonies tonight. God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you have all sufficiency in all things. It doesn't always have to be money. I feel sorry for you in your small little world if everything revolves around money. Because some of the blessings God gives, they're just free. They're just free. And when you give, he said, God is able. And this is what he did for Macedonia, these poor people. He gave them his grace, and they were able to endure even poverty, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good works, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, that's us helping the missionaries, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's why so many people, when they get behind missions giving and they're supplying seed to the sower, they end up being increased in the fruits of their own righteousness. God finds what I call a conduit. And he sees a little kid giving a quarter or a dollar, or somebody starting out giving a dollar or $5, and God says, look at that person there. They're giving to missions. I think I'll give them more. And then he gives them more. The conduit gets bigger. And the supply to the missions gets greater. And bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it doesn't have to stop, as long as it never sticks to our hands. That's when it stops, is when it sticks to your hands. God is amazing when it comes to this thing about giving. It's a tangible thing where we can see God work and build our faith. Being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, the poor people back in Jerusalem, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Listen, if we are in subject to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we're subject to it, believe me, that's going to affect our wallets. There's not a person on earth that can say, I really think getting the gospel out is important if they don't give. They don't give. We need to give the gospel out ourselves with our words, our lips, our life, our literature, and so on, but also our liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. These two chapters have to go together for you to understand the whole story. Let me say this in closing. We've seen here the Macedonians. What a great testimony they were. We've seen the messengers. What great men they were. What honest men they were. Credible men. And men who could be trustworthy with the finances to get them to where they were designated. And we saw the missing. We saw the Achaia believers at Corinth and other places who said a year ago they were going to give, but they didn't give anything. It's missing. It was missing. And Paul had to remind them. I don't think Paul probably wanted to do this, but he said, look, you committed a year ago. And your commitment inspired these up north, and they gave, but you didn't. Be forward a year ago. Show the proof of your love. And our boasting on your behalf, we boasted about you and your giving. Be subject to the gospel. Liberally distribute to those who are taking the gospel around the world. The missing, and last of all, the master. Verse 9, chapter 8, and let's close with this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What a Savior. What a Master. What an example. Nobody ever became poorer than Jesus Christ. We just don't know that yet because we've never seen heaven. But he left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny. It was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. And he did that for us, that we could be rich. The Master. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Tonight, let's be like the Macedonians. Let's be like the messengers. Let's be like the Master. But let's not be like the missing, who said they were going to help but didn't. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us. Thank you for these great chapters here that really are human. We just see humanity in these, and we see people in their struggles with money, and maybe they're just their forgetfulness. Maybe they made an emotional decision to help the poor saints and got wrapped up in their busy lives and just forgot. We don't know, Lord. But help us in this room to say, I'm not going to be like those in Achaia. I'm going to be like those in Macedonia. In fact, I'm going to be like the Master, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Lord, help us to choose the right example to follow tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to page 218.